Masechta Shtrumas deals with the first of the tithes taken from the produce in Eretz Yisrael. So if somebody has produce that he grew in a field, the first gift that is given is to the Kohen, and it's called Truma. The first parak starts off in Mishnah Aleph telling us Chamisha Lo Yisroma. There are five categories of people that cannot take off Truma. Vim Tarmu Ein Trumas San Truma. And if they did take off Truma, even B'dievet, it's not going to be effective, and Truma needs to be taken again. Number one is a Chayrish, which is somebody who cannot hear and also cannot speak. Cannot hear and cannot speak. Cannot take Truma. Number two, Vahashot, is someone who's insane. Vahakatan, somebody below the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. Number four is Vatorim Esheino Shalom, somebody who takes Truma for somebody else, but he did not have permission to be taking the Truma. And number five, Ovid Kochavim Shatarim Etz Yisrael, a non-Jew who takes Truma, even if he had permission. Afilu B'Yershus, it doesn't matter. A non-Jew cannot act as a Shaliach. Accordingly, cannot take Truma. Ain Truma Sa Truma. In all of these situations, the Truma taking is not going to be effective, even B'Dievet. Mishnah Beis Chayrish Hamidabra Ve'ena Shomea. So now, we're talking about a Chayrish, somebody who can speak but cannot hear. In the prior Mishnah, we talk about a Chayrish who can do neither. Here we have one who can speak but cannot hear. Lo Yitrom, he's not permitted to take off Truma. Vim Tarum, Trumas or Truma. In this situation, if he did take it, B'dievet, it's going to be effective. And what's going on here is we need somebody that will be able to say the bracha and hear the bracha. Here we have a Chayrish who can say the bracha but cannot hear the bracha. But the bracha is not me'akev B'dievet. You could effectively do the act of taking Truma even without the bracha. So accordingly, if we have a Chayrish who speaks, doesn't hear, should not take off the truma, but the fact that he did not hear the bracha is not me'akeh b'dievet. If we have a chayresh, in general, the Mishnah tells us, shedibru chachami b'chol makom, whenever Chazal, almost in all situations, like in the first Mishnah, when Chazal talk about a chayresh, she'ino lo shomea v'lo medamber, talking about a chayresh who neither hears nor speak. So that's our classic example of a chayrish, is somebody who can do neither. Mishnah Gimel, Katan Shalom Hevi Shtei Saros. So in the first Mishnah, we had an opinion, and that's the first of three opinions. The first opinion was a Katan, if we'll take a boy, for example, if he's below the age of Bar Mitzvah, he cannot take off Trumas. If he's Bar Mitzvah and he has two Searos, he has two pubic hairs, then he can take off Truma. The second opinion on a Katan is a Katan indeed can take off Truma. So that's Mishnah Gimel, Katan Shlo Hevi Shtei Searos. If you have a Katan below the age of Bar Mitzvah and also doesn't have two Searos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Trumas or Truma, Rabbi Yehuda is of the view his Truma taking is going to be effective. The third opinion on a Katan, Rabbi Yossi Omer, it depends the age. As long as a boy is 12 and a girl is 11, such that their making of a neder is effective, then their taking of Truma is going to be effective. But if they are below, for a boy 12, below 12 and a girl below 11, that their making of a neder is not going to be effective, they also cannot take Truma. So that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yossi Omer, im ad shelo ba le'ones nedarim, if this katan has not reached the age that they can make a neder, ain truma so truma, their taking of truma is not going to be effective. Mishabal onas nedarim, but if they've reached the age for a boy 12 or a girl 11, that their making of a neder is going to be effective. Truma so truma, their taking of truma is going to be effective as well. Mishnah Dalet is going to build on a pasuk that says dagon min hagoren, in describing truma. Truma is considered to be grain that is taken from the threshing floor. And what that means is only if after the grain has been fully processed do we have an obligation to give the truma. And in other words, if we want to have one bundle of grain, let's say, and another bundle of grain, if one has not been fully processed and one is, we cannot take off of one bundle for the other. They have to both be fully processed. So now the Mishnah tells us, Ein Tormim Zeisim, we're not permitted to take truma from olives. Olives we're intending to make into olive oil. Al Hashemin on Shemin, that is, which are olives that have already been into its fully processed state, because that is taking truma from olives that it's not in its final processed state on Shemin, that is. So they both have to be fully processed. And similarly, Vlo Anavi Malayin, you can also not take grapes and give that as truma in place of taking it off of the wine itself. So if you have wine and you have grapes, you have to take from the wine itself. You can't take off from the grapes in place of the wine. And now we're going to get a little bit more complicated. We're going to talk about someone who wants to give olives for both olives and olive oil. So instead of giving from the olive oil, he wants to give his olives, but he also has to give for olives. So he has like olives there. He has a batch of olives. He has a batch of olive oil. And instead of giving from both of those separately, he's just going to give olives to the kohen for truma. Or similarly, if somebody wants to give grapes as truma in place of taking from a bunch of grapes and a bottle of wine. So the Mishnah says, v'im tarmu, in these situations, if he attempted to give truma in those situations, Beit Shammai omim, trumas atzman bahem. Beit Shammai is of the view that when you give for olives, for both olives and olive oil, that is partially effective. It's going to be effective for giving olives for olives, but it's not going to be effective for the olives giving in place of the olive oil. And similarly for grapes, when you try to give grapes for both grapes and wine, it's going to be partially effective giving grapes for grapes works, but grapes for wine, the wine component does not work. And Reis Hillel Omrim, Ein Trumas on Truma, Reis Hillel's other view, this doesn't work at all. Why? Because the person was intending to give olives for both olives and olive oil. That was his intention. And because he can't give olives for olive oil, it's also not going to be effective for giving olives for olives. The same applies when it comes to grapes. And the concept here, and we're going to get back to this a little bit later, is a very important concept that even b'dieved, it's not going to be effective because you're trying to give something worse to the kohen. You should be giving the olive oil. You should be giving the wine that's fully processed, and you're trying to give him something that is going to have him to process it. You're trying to give him olives, and he's going to have to squeeze them. And you're trying to give him grapes, and he's going to have to press them. So that is on a b'dieved level. Won't even be effective. Mishnah hey ain't tormim. You cannot give truma min haleket umin ashichacha min apeya. These are three of the matanos that are given to anim in the field, and these matanos, these gifts, are not obligated in truma samaisus. And also, somebody has a field, he doesn't own them. These are to be given to the ani. He's not to be taking it in himself. So what that means is that if somebody has a pile of olives, he has to give truma for it. He cannot take from the shichacha, the leket shichacha and peah in his field and take that away from the anim and give that as truma instead of he's taking directly from an olives. In umina hefker, same thing applies if he has olives from hefker or whatever produce it may be, some grain from hefker. He's not permitted to say, I'm going to give the grain that I have that's hefker, that I didn't grow, it grew in the wild, I'm going to give from that instead of giving from the grain I grew in my field. Why? Because hefker produce, hefker grain, is not subject to the requirements of trumas and maestras. You don't have to give trumas and maestras. So you have to give trumas and maestras from something. You can give from something that's obligated on something that's obligated. But if one is obligated, you can't give from something that's not obligated. And continuing, v'lo mi ma'aser rishon shenitla trumasa, a situation that we have grain and it wasn't in its final state that it's obligated to give truma from it. In other words, it hasn't made it to the threshing floor yet. It hasn't been put into a pile and smoothed out. That's when truma obligation kicks in. And the Levi came before there was an obligation to give truma, and he took his Maaser Rishon. He took his Maaser Rishon from that. So the Mishnah says you cannot give truma when this Levi has Maaser Rishon if he's already given his Trumas Maaser. Trumas Maaser is what's given by the Levi from the Maaser Rishon that he receives. So if he's already given his Trumas Maaser to the Kohen, 10%, he can no longer use that Maaser Rishon for giving truma from something else. But however, the diuk on that is if he hasn't given his Trumas Maaser, Levi receives Maaser Rishon, and he has another pile of, let's say he has grapes, and he received this Maaser Rishon from somebody, grapes, but he has not given the Trumas Maaser to the kohen yet. In that situation, because that Maaser that he has is still obligated to give something to the kohen, he could give Truma from this Maaser Rishon to the kohen for that other pile of olives. Velomi Maaser Sheni Vehekdesh Niftu. If somebody has Maaser Sheni, that's the produce in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle that has to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten, or you can redeem it for money and bring the money to Yerushalayim if you have Maaser Sheni, or if you have Hektesh, something that was donated to the Beis HaMikdash, Sheniftu, even if it was already redeemed. Certainly if it hasn't been redeemed, this Maaser Sheni or the Hektesh, but even if it has been redeemed, you cannot take truma from that Maaser Sheni and the Hekdesh, because Maaser Sheni and Hekdesh are not obligated in Trumas and Maaser. So you can't take from something that is not obligated for something that is obligated. And here are some rules about this. Lomina Chayiv Alapatu. You can't take from one pile of items that are chayiv in truma for a different pile that is exempted from truma. Lomina Patur Alachayiv, or the reverse. You can't take truma for something that is detached from the field for something that is attached, or the vice versa. In other words, truma kicks in when both have already been detached. So then if you have olives that are detached, one pile, and another pile of olives that have been detached, they're both detached, two different piles, I can take from one on the other, that wouldn't be a problem. Give truma from one pile for both of them. You also cannot give on produce that is new for produce that is old. What does that mean? So the pasuk says in Devarim, Yudalet Aser Taser, we give the trumas, we give the maisers from the tzua, from the grama, of our field, Hayote Asada Shana that comes out every year, which means what if we have produce from before Rosh Hashanah and produce from after, the one from after is Yashan, the one from before is, the one from after is Chadash, the one from before is Yashan. You cannot mix, take from one on the other. And continuing, the obligation of trumas, maisers is on the produce grown in Eretz Yisrael. Accordingly, you can't give truma from produce that is from the land of Israel and produce that's from outside the land of Israel, or the reverse, that doesn't work. And the chiddush here is even if you bring produce to the land of Israel, it's still not obligated. You cannot take from that for produce that is grown in the land of Israel, or vice versa. Vim tarmu ein trumas and truma. If you did attempt to give truma from any of these situations, it's not going to be effective taking off the truma, even b'di'evid. Mishnah Vav is going to contrast somewhat, be similar in contrast with Mishnah Aleph, where we saw that there are five categories of people that cannot give truma, and if they did, even b'di'evid, it's not effective. Our Mishnah Vav says chamisha lo yisrumo. There are another five categories of people that should not give truma. They cannot give truma vim tarmu, but if they did take off truma, trumas and truma, their truma is going to be effective. Number one, Ha'ilem, somebody who cannot speak but can hear. So he cannot speak but can hear, so he can't say the bracha. Hashikr, number two. Number three, Vaharum, somebody who's naked can't say a bracha. If you're naked, you need to cover up the erva. Number four, Vasuma, somebody who's blind, who Baal carries. Number five, this is before, during the time of Takana of Ezra, that a Baal carry was not permitted to daven, to learn, to say brachas, so he couldn't say the bracha here, but subsequently the gzera of Ezra, that a Baal Keri has to go to mikvah, was abolished, but this is at the time that it was effective. In all these situations, these five categories, lo yisromu, they should not take truma, vim tarmu, trumas, and truma, but if they did, b'dieved, the truma is going to be effective. Mishnah Zayin tells us something interesting on a deraisa level. The Torah did not tell us how much truma should be given. So even a kernel of grain that is given, that would be sufficient. Give it to the kohen. But Chazal came and instituted that we should give a specific amount. 1/40th of the gross amount of the produce should be given, ideally. 1/50th is average, and 1/60th is considered a miser. That's a miserly giving. Now, because on a d'oraisa level, you can give even the smallest amount, Chazal said when you give your 40th, 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, just give it by estimate. Don't weigh it. Don't measure it exactly. We're going to reflect the Torah requirements that even the smallest amount, so we're not going to be so strictly, just estimate the amount that you're going to give. So the Mishnah says, Ein Torma, when we give Truma, we don't give it Lo B'mita, by size, don't measure the size. Lo B'mishkal, don't weigh the Truma, Lo B'minyan, and don't count out exactly amount. So if you have a gross amount of grain, for example, and you're going to give 1/50th, which is a half of a percent, it says as follows, don't give, if 1/50th is actually 2%, don't to 2%, don't measure it exactly, just estimate. You have the gross amount, no problem, estimate and give the 2%, the 1/50th. However, the gross amount before you're taking off the truma, that you're permitted to know exactly how much your field produced on a gross basis. So aval torem hu, but you can take off your truma when you're giving the estimate. The 1/50th, for example, you can take it off from something etamadu, from something that has been measured. The gross can be measured, v'tashakol, and it can be weighed, v'tamanoi, and counted, but simply when you take off the truma, make it an estimate. Ein tormin besal ubekupa shem shalmida. When you take off the truma, don't put the amount in a basket or a box that is used for measuring, because you know the exact measure of it, because you have to estimate. Avaltorim hu bahen chetzi oshlish shan. But what you can do is you can use that basket or box. You know how big the total box is, but you can use it as an estimate because you can fill it up to a half or a third, because I'm estimating at that point. So I could use the box or basket or that I know the gross measure or the measuring amount, the full amount, because I'm just going to estimate with inside of it. Lo yisrum b'se'achetzi. But when it comes to a measuring container that is the size of the se'ah, there, don't do it even up to half, shechetz yamida, because the half typically had a mark, so they would use the half also as a measuring amount, kind of like our measuring things that have marks in it. So they had a mark at the halfway amount in the container that was a sa'ah size, so don't use that either for a sa'ah or even for a half a sa'ah, because that's measuring. Now, Mishnah Ches, we're getting back to what we saw in Mishnah Daled, that you can only give fully processed, that you can only take truma from something that's fully processed for something that's fully processed. So we want to take from pile A, for pile A from pile B. So they have to both be fully processed. So here the Mishnah says as follows, Ein tarmim shemen al zeisin hanichtashim. I'm not permitted to take olive oil, so truma from olive oil for olives that will be crushed, because those olives haven't been crushed yet. They're not considered fully processed. So I can't take shemen, I can't take the oil on something that it has not been fully processed yet. The same thing applies for wine. V'lo yayin, I shouldn't take from my wine to give truma from my wine. Al hanavim hanidrachim, for anavim, for grapes that will be pressed, because they haven't been pressed yet. So they're not in their fully processed state. Vim taram truma so truma. However, if I did take truma from that shemen or from that yayin, it is going to be effective on a bidyevid level. Now, this differs from Mishnah Daled. In Mishnah Daled, we said that if you're giving olives or you're giving grapes, instead of giving the olive oil that you should be giving or the wine that you should be giving on a durabanan basis, that is not going to be effective. And the reason there is because you're giving something worse to the kohen. In our Mishnah, when you're giving the better thing, the shemen or yayin, you shouldn't be doing it. Why? Because you're giving for something that hasn't been fully processed. But nonetheless, because you're giving something that is better to the kohen, even on a bidyevid basis, it is going to be effective truma. Nonetheless, that is on a d'oraisa level, it's an effective truma. But the Mishnah tells us, v'yachzor v'yisrom, but you have to take truma again on a d'rabbanan level, because the bottom line is still, you're taking off on something, you're taking shemen and yayin that have been fully processed off of something for, to exempt something that has not been fully processed. You're trying to exempt grapes and olives that have not been crushed yet, and you're intending to crush them, you're intending them to press them. So on a d'oraisa level, this would be effective. On a d'rabbanan level, it's not effective, so you would have to go and you would have to take truma again. So now we have two amounts of truma. We have the first time you did it, that's effective d'oraisa truma, and then Chazal said you have to take truma a second time, that is truma d'rabbanan. So there is a nafkamina, two nafkaminas between them. Harishona, the first time you took off, that is effective on a d'oraisa level, that would midama'as bifne'atzma, if that truma amount, that truma d'oraisa, falls into chulin, that would make it meduma. Meduma means that we have a combination of chulin that could have been eaten by a non-kohen, but because truma fell in, unless you have 100 times more of the chulin than the truma that fell in, that meduma combination now cannot be eaten by a non-kohen. And in addition, another nafkamina here is the chayavin ala chomesh. That first truma that we took off that is effective on a d'oraisa level, if somebody who is not a kohen would come and eat it by mistake, he has to return that produce, that value of the produce, to the kohen, plus he has to add a chomesh, avaloshnia. However, the second truma that was required by Chazal to be taken off on a d'rabbanan level, that would not cause meduma if it fell accidentally into chulin, and also if somebody ate it accidentally who shouldn't have been eating it, he would not have to pay an additional chomesh amount. Mishnah test gets back to our concept of you have to, if you want to give truma from one thing on another, they have to be both in their fully processed state. But if they're in different states, then you're not permitted to take one for the other. So now we're going to talk about v'sormim shemen. You could take truma from olive oil that you have al zeisim hanichbashin on olives that you plan on pickling, despite the fact they're not pickled yet, they're still considered fully edible because you're planning on pickling. And pickling is a very easy process. So that is considered edible, something edible, fully processed shemen. On something zaysim that you're going to be pickling, that's considered fully processed as well. Not a problem taking one on the other. V'yayin, you can also take wine, al anavim lasos and simukim, on grapes that you're planning to make into raisins. Because making grapes into raisins is a very simple process, it's already considered edible because you're not planning on squeezing these grapes and making wine. That would not be considered a process. But if you're simply planning on making those grapes into tzimukim, into raisins, that is not a problem at all. So you can take from the shemen and the yayin on those zeisim and anavim. Hare shetaram shemen al zeisim la'achila. So if you were taking truma from shemen, from oil, and you are exempting zeisim lachila, and you're exempting olives that you're planning on eating. So olives you're planning on eating, they're also in the final process state, so you can take olive oil on olives that you're planning on eating. V'zeisim al zeisim lachila, or you had two piles of zeisim, and you took from one on the other, you're planning on eating the zeisim, or the same concept supply, v'yayin al hanavim lachila, you gave from wine in order to exempt grapes that you're planning on eating the grapes. They're both in their fully processed form, v'anavim alana v'anavim lachila, and you have two grapes, you have two piles of grapes, and you gave from one on the other, you're planning on eating both of them. But the problem here, that's no problem, but the problem is, v'nim lach l'darchan, you changed your mind, and now you are planning now, after you already took the truma off of one pile and the other, you're planning with that other pile to now take them and squeeze those, press those grapes and squeeze those olives. So after the fact of taking the truma, it turns out that those olives and the grapes were not in its fully processed form. Eino tzarech litrum, because when you gave the truma at the time from the wine and from the olive oil, you were not planning on squeezing those grapes and the olives. They were considered in their final form. Accordingly, the taking of the truma is effective. And even if you change your mind and you say, I'm going to take those grapes, I'm going to take those olives and turn them into wine and olive oil, it does not matter after the fact. You don't have to take truma again. And now Mishnah Yud is a summary of the rules. Ein tarmi midava shenigmara melachto, hadava shelo nigmara melachto. You cannot take truma from something that has been fully processed for something that has not been fully processed. And same with the reverse, cannot be done. You cannot take from something that has not been fully processed to exempt something, to exempt thing that has been fully processed. And in fact, the next step is, you also cannot take from something that has not been fully processed on something that has not been fully processed. The concept of truma is you have to give from the item itself, or if you want to give from something else, they have to be both in the fully processed form. Both of them have to be fully processed. Vim tarma trumas and truma. However, in the end of the day, if you did violate these laws and you did take truma, it is on a bidyevid basis going to be effective truma.